Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Good morning, Siri. How are you?
Morning, morning, Johnny. Pretty good. Nice to see the sun out.
I know. It has been feeling pretty summery, which is great. Now, as we truck towards Christmas, have you brought in a good Christmas read for us?
A really good read.
Not so Christmassy.
Not super, Christmassy. But a really fascinating read, great for summer. It's pretty short and a familiar author for, I think, a lot of people, Ta-Nehisi Coates. So he was first, I first knew about him, I guess, through his book, Between the World and Me, which was around the same size, this gorgeous little letter to his son. It's 150 pages about police brutality and how to navigate the world as a young African-American man in the States. And then off the back of that, he kind of he did a lot of work in a short number of years. He did the case for reparations for the Atlantic, which was also hugely popular at a time. I remember walking into the bookshop one day after that came out and maybe for the entire week that I worked that week, everyone was talking, customers and staff, about the case for reparations. But he took a little hiatus for a while. He got a little bit of backlash, but he's back with The Message, his first nonfiction book in a long time. And this is kind of written, I guess, as part travelogue, part pursuit to understand the myths that underpin nation building, and also the myths that allow racism and colonialism to happen. So he goes from three, it starts actually in quite an awesome way. The first part of the book is kind of an understanding of journalism and writing, and he sort of talks about what works really introduced him to that world. As a kid, the first piece of the first thing he remembers his mum ever buying him was a Sports Illustrated about his favorite footballer Tony Dorsett, and he describes learning about Tony Dorsett's quite violent injury and subsequent retirement from football as being his first experience of the shattering of a myth about the world. He kind of saw Tony Dorsett as the superhuman, infallible, untouchable football player, and when he was tackled and had quite a horrific spine injury, that was the first moment where he was my heroes are not immortal. And he talks about that. He talks about his introduction to the love of word through MCs and rap, his obsession with Rakim and Wu-Tang, and then he uses that as a way to start off the idea that as human beings we're really susceptible to creating myths to understand the world. They're a way of building meaning about the things that happen around us. So he kind of extrapolates that to three different places. Dakar in Senegal in Africa, and then Colombia in South Carolina, and then finally Palestine. So it's he travels between each of these places, and it's kind of it's early journalists Razad Kapuscinski, who did this post-war, just kind of observations and reporting from the ground, and he kind of grapples with what his responsibilities are as a writer to be reporting about these places and what stories he should be telling. And I think each of the stories are really interesting, but when he gets to Palestine, I think that's one of the most profound parts of this book.
When would he have been in Palestine?
I think he talks about it being in the last couple of years, super, super recent. So he describes, so he gets to go on this trip with other Palestinian writers like Mahmoud Darwish, and he writes about how the things that he sees in places like Senegal and South Carolina are really reflected in modern-day Palestine. So in South Carolina, a lot of the work that he does there is historical. It's going to museums and libraries and seeing like the history of segregation there. And he kind of notices how like a lot of those underlying principles of like segregation pop their head up again in Palestine. And he talks about, you know, like it being so evident to him as someone who, like, maybe as a, I mean, I don't want to get too much into like the morality of Israel-Palestine, but he does sort of talk about how like the segregation is like so obvious to him. There's like no other way for him to write about his experience there. And he also talks about how, which I found really interesting, like in 1948, one of the very early, like, I guess, Zionist offensives to try and, like, capture a part of Palestine by a group called the Lehi really used the language of, like, master race and slave race to separate, like, the Jewish settlers and the Arab population that was living in Palestine at the time. And I thought it was interesting that kind of using the language of like the same group of people who I guess they were like subjected to violence under. So it's like, it's not, I think because it's 200 pages, I would say it's like quite hard to get like really into the depths of like a lot of these issues. It's more like creating links, and it's a really interesting way to do it. Like, you know, he sort of tries to make the connection between like really racism and colonialism being, rather than like these organic, like horrible but organic ways for us to like group people, he kind of talks about it how as being like a process of dehumanization that occurs in the pursuit of capital. And he takes it as far back as like ancient Egypt, you know, like creating like a race of slaves was really like a way of having people to like create a city for the settlers that they wanted to live in, without of course using their own populations to like carry out that work. So yeah, it's like, it's not, I think it's like a really great intro into those ideas, maybe for like the lay reader or for someone who like is interested but doesn't have like a super like doesn't know where to start reading about stuff like Palestine, reading about stuff like race and colonialism. But it's a really great one, I think. It's a really great companion read to like a lot of like classics that already exist. Like I kept thinking about Hannah Arendt, I kept thinking about Frantz Fanon, about Baldwin. So yeah, it's like, it's definitely not a light Christmas read.
But thought-provoking,
yes. Yeah. And like a super interesting, even outside of like the even outside of some of like the moral underpinning of the work in there, it is a great travelogue piece as well. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Well, The Message by
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Okay.
And it's the $40 and available at all good bookstores, including Time Out.
Ah, there we go. Thank you, Suri.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Loose Reads.